Welcome, all you sinners and sodomites, to episode 73 of Bible Stories for Atheists. I am Josh.
I'm Linz.
And we are your guides to the sacredly psychopathic stories literally, literarily, littering the Bible.
I think you mean sinners and sodomites.
That's true. Just all the S's get P's in this episode. It's the psss episode. Episode all about psalms.
Yeah. So I don't really want to like set this up so that people don't listen to it. Right. But like Josh didn't want to do psalms. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
So like if you get halfway through it and you're like, Josh is really phoning it in, it's because he is.
But also, I think you did for good reason.
Yeah, you did. No, it's fair. It's fair. Yeah. I didn't force him to do it because Josh doesn't do anything he doesn't want to do.
No.
But like, I had a curiosity about why he was like, fuck no, I don't want to do Psalms. Yet they seem so important.
Right. Yeah.
And we did not answer that question in this podcast. No. Josh just proved his point. Before we start the episode, we have a minor, small correction to make.
Right.
In the last podcast, we were talking about Judas Priest. Mm-hmm. And I said that Lemmy was in Judas Priest. And I was not right.
No.
And thank you to our Reddit user who pointed that out. Because, listen, I don't want to anger the metal gods. I believe that something bad could happen if that happens.
Right.
So we want... My bad. In my head, I was totally picturing Rob Halford. Like, I know what Lemmy looks like.
Yeah.
And also, Lemmy loves leather, too, but...
In a different way.
In a different way, yeah, for sure.
Different relationship.
Yeah. So, Lemmy, of course, Lemmy Kilmister.
Yeah.
Being from Motorhead.
Right.
And way more metal than Rob Halford. Yeah.
Which is funny, because, like, I can remember Lemmy, like, the look of Lemmy in my head, and I'm like, that guy is gay.
Yeah. No, Rob Halford. But, definitely when you think of him now instantly in your head, you're like, oh yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, I still don't think I've seen him, but
I was right with the band, wrong with the name of the singer.
Yeah.
In my head, the picture was right too.
Right.
But so anyway, just so everyone knows, I'm sorry. Yeah. Don't come for me.
Especially you, Lemmy, R.I.P. So strap in, strap on for episode 73, Pashitty Psalms. So yeah, we were talking the other day about Psalms.
Psalms, yep.
Yeah, the book of Psalms.
Psalms.
And you were saying that you really wanted to get into Psalms.
Well, you said we weren't going to get into it at all.
Right.
You said, fuck no.
Yeah.
So boring. Mm-hmm. Don't want to read.
Sounds like me.
And I said... But everybody quotes it all the time on billboards and posters and fucking Instagram posts and fake book posts. I'm just going to leave it. Yeah. And so it was crazy to me that you were like, we're just going to skip it. When it seems to me from an outsider's perspective.
Yeah.
That it seems to be a very important book of the Bible.
I mean, people say it's important, whether like it doesn't have anything to do with Jesus or anything like that. So right. I don't know what do you define as important about the Bible?
I don't define any of the Bible as important.
And I agree.
But the people who seem to really love the Bible.
Yeah.
And Jesus.
And Jesus. Yeah.
Enjoy quoting Psalms.
Yeah. I might have mentioned this before, but when I was a kid, they and I'm sure they still do it now, where you can buy copies of the Bible, but it's just the New Testament.
Yes.
And Psalms and Proverbs.
Right.
They're the only books of the Old Testament that are important.
Apparently.
You know? Because those are the only books of the Old Testament that you can't really question, I think.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because there's no narratives.
Sure.
They're not making any real historical claims, as far as I understand. You know, mm-hmm. not like the histories like
right.
we're going through.
Right.
Or Genesis and stuff like that. So, of course, you can include that in these Bibles you give to the kids, because that's all they need for the Old Testament.
Yes.
Doesn't
Psalms
matter.
And Proverbs.
Psalms and Proverbs. So I figured we would do an episode where we dig into Psalms.
Psalms.
And just see what it's like.
Okay.
Because there's no narrative to Psalms.
How long is Psalms?
I was actually about to get into that.
Oh.
So Wikipedia, a summarized version of Wikipedia's article on Psalms is the Book of Psalms, aka the Psalter.
As in
Psalter, but it starts with a P.
Ah. Okay.
Is the first book of the third section called the Writings in the Hebrew Bible. There's 150 Psalms if you're Jewish or a Western Christian, but apparently there's more if you're an Eastern Orthodox Christian.
Oh.
I don't know how many more.
Made more.
I don't know. I don't know why Jewish people don't have those. Like, right. Why would they have any that Jewish people don't have?
Right.
I don't know.
They made them up.
You like that's one thing that's so annoying about religious stuff is like, oh, I wonder why they have that. And then you go down that alley and it's like, oh yeah, just these people decided to do this. And it's like,
they just added.
It's nothing like interesting, you know?
No,
but religion is full of those little branches.
There was some rule or lesson they wanted to impart and they were like, well, this goes here. So we're going to add it.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be like, yeah, of course. They're just leaving it out of the other versions of the Bible.
Yeah. Yet again, Christians saying, oh, you Jews don't know how to do the Bible.
The thing you created.
Right.
Yeah.
So the book is divided into five sections, and each one ends with a hymn of praise. There are several types of psalms, including hymns or songs of praise, communal and individual laments, sad songs. royal psalms, imprecation.
Let's see what Google has to say about this word.
Contained within the Book of Psalms are those that imprecate.
A spoken curse.
Oh, curses. Oh, yeah. Now, that's interesting. They fucking Wikipedia should have just said
curses.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, you know, listen, it's people, you could go in there and fix it.
Yeah.
Anyone can edit.
But it's probably like the PC way of saying it. And so you're not saying the Book of Psalms has curses in
it. Yeah. You know? Right.
It's a book of curses. You know, but it is. So, so there's curses in it. Sorry.
I don't, you're selling it even harder by saying that though.
Yeah. There's curses in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It's now I can get the Wiccans interested, you know,
Wiccans and get some curse people.
Yeah, I can get some gothy teenagers who are like, oh, you know, what's really metal? Psalms.
The book of Psalms. The imprecations.
Yes, of the Psalms.
The two parts of the Bible I have read are Revelations and Psalms.
That's all you need of the Bible. The book also includes Psalms of communal thanksgiving, wisdom, pilgrimage, and other categories. While many of the Psalms claim to be written by King David and other biblical figures such as Solomon, David's authorship is not accepted by most modern biblical scholars, who instead attribute the composition of the Psalms to various authors writing between the 9th and 5th centuries BC.
Wow.
The Psalms were written from the time of the Israelite conquest of Canaan. So, in theory, according to the Bible, when Joshua conquered the land,
right.
You know, so from around that time to the post-exilic period. And the book was probably compiled and edited into its present form during the post-exilic period of the 5th century BC. Take that with what you will. You ever wonder why there's a silent P in Psalms?
Well, I assume it's by the same people who created pterodactyls.
Well, most of the Psalms contain pterodactyls.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. I asked ChatGPT about this, and the word psalm is written with a silent P due to its etymology. It comes from the Greek word psalmos or psalmos. I don't know.
Yeah.
Originally derived from the Greek verb psalion, which means to pluck or to play a stringed instrument. This reflects the fact that psalms were typically accompanied by a harp or other stringed instruments in their traditional settings. The initial P in psalm is silent because over time the word was adopted into Latin and then into Old English. The pronunciation of the P was lost, but the spelling retained the letter. This pattern of a silent P followed by an S is at the beginning of words is consistent with other words that have Greek origins, such as pneumatic, which does not start with PS, and psychology, which does start with PS.
Yeah.
Therefore, the silent P in Psalm is a vestige of its Greek origin, reflecting both its historical linguistic journey and the musical roots and ancient religious practices.
Wow.
Psalms. All right. So I also asked ChatGPT to generate a list of all the Psalms that contained
curses.
Fuck.
Uh-oh.
My shoulder has been bugging, like, just been weird tonight. I was like trying to lift sushi and struggling.
Wow.
I know.
I laugh, but I understand.
And it's just like, you know, you hit this one angle.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
And it just gives out. Yeah. Not weak. I'm just limp.
Broke. I think that Venn diagram crosses pretty heavily.
Yeah.
Between weak and limp.
Anyway. So I asked ChatGPT to generate a list of Psalms that had to do with David's life.
Okay.
So Psalm 3 is a Psalm about David when he fled from his son Absalom.
Okay.
It expresses David's trust in God. And well, let's not see what they think.
I feel like I need your guitar so I can strum it while you're reading.
Except you don't know how to play guitar.
I said strum. I assume that just means going like...
Yeah, but it's not like you need to know how to make a chord. I think you're doing it great, just like you are.
We do have a cowbell. I could play the cowbell while you're reading them.
That'll help. All right, Psalm 3. Oh, are you all right?
I'm fine.
Were you gonna pee?
No.
Were you gonna go find a toy?
I was.
Okay. Psalm 3, Trust in God Under Adversity is apparently the title. Also, a Psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. And it goes, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying to me, there is no help for you in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. My glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. I am not afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Rise up, O Lord, deliver me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. deliverance belongs to the Lord. May your blessing be on your people.
I feel like
I was right about this whole thing.
No. Oh. When you were reading it, I wanted to hear it read like the way Catholic priests will read in like that sing-songy sort of like,
oh Lord, how many are my foes?
Yes.
That kind of thing. Yeah. This is all I've ever seen on TV.
Yeah.
You know, it's of Catholic priests.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's a fair assessment.
I don't know how it goes from there, but
it's just kind of the same cadence throughout the whole thing.
I wonder, like, are they limited to like five notes, you think?
It feels like it.
These are God's notes.
Yeah. Like the brown noise.
Yeah,
God noise.
It's all the brown notes. There's not a dry pair of pants in the house afterwards.
Nope. Okay, so this would have been a little singy-songy about David. Assuming David would be the one, like he's the voice in this.
Right? I mean, that's what it claims.
Yeah.
It's a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom.
And he's basically like, even like, God still has his back, basically, is what he's saying.
Right. That he'll maintain faith in God.
Right.
Yeah.
Because God will smack his enemies on the cheek.
Right. Yeah.
What cheek? Did not say.
Right.
And also break their teeth.
He's quite brutal.
He feels like an old-timey boxer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's where the punching nuns came from.
That's how God fights for you. He goes out in boxes. Yeah. Too bad they have guns.
He's wearing the little singlets. Yeah. That he used to wear back then.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that one was, yes, not overly entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you picked all the David ones are going to be so boring. I feel like you didn't pick the curses.
These are going to be the, all right.
No, it's okay.
Well, I didn't know that's what that meant.
Oh.
First of all,
that's fair.
Yeah.
All right.
These are the ones that like mean something to us the most. Because I mean, we could literally just read poetry about how great God is if you want.
No, that's okay. Keep going.
That's basically what this is still going to be.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I feel like you're doing this just to prove a point, though.
I'm not. I'm trying to figure out how to make this interesting.
Sorry, everyone. If you hate this episode, it's my fault. I made Josh do this.
I mean, you know, we'll get it out of the way then, you know. Psalm 18, royal thanksgiving for victory to the leader, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, probably not all of them, and from the hand of Saul. Yeah, definitely not all of them.
Right.
So this is going back to Saul.
Yeah.
And
which is crazy. Yeah. It's out of order.
Right. Yeah. Yes, it is out of order. He said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of perdition assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations of the mountains trembled and reeled because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew.
Oh, wow.
Which is a really funny thought when you think of a cherub as a
little baby.
Baby.
Yeah.
With tiny little wings.
I know you're not he's done got with
one,
it.
He's got one under each foot, right. And he's got like a leash.
I'm wondering, or is he literally like straddling one?
Like really big and everything, just like
when you see a grown up ride a little kid's bike.
Yeah. Or like one of those like little
Rocky horses at Rocky the horses. Playground.
Yeah. Very serious though as he's coming down.
Red and sweating.
Breathing smoke and shit. Oh, that poor baby. Yeah. Anyway. He came swiftly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering around him, his canopy thick clouds, dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, there broke through the clouds, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Sounds a lot like Thor.
Yeah.
Or Zeus. Yeah. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of your breath of your nostrils. He reached down from, how much longer is this? This is a lot longer. Like we're about halfway through.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, you can call, you can call it if you want.
Okay. And on and on.
And on and on and on and on and on. Yeah. I'm sorry. Why was God mad?
Enemies.
Oh. Nowhere in the story of David do we get this sort of like God getting this involved in any of his problems.
No, yeah, that's true. The story of David, God does not show up a lot.
No, let alone riding on a cherub.
Yeah.
With fire coming out of his nose.
Yeah.
like a bull in those like cartoons where the bull's real angry and gets mad and turns red and shoots fire out of his nostrils. Uh-huh. Like in Looney Tunes. Yeah. I just literally on like
a cherub.
God is a Looney Tune character.
It's just Elmer Fudd coming down. Yeah.
Yeah. More like Foghorn Leghorn.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he would talk in that.
I say. Yeah.
Southern gentlemanly sort of way.
Psalm 51 is perhaps the most famous. Okay. This psalm is David's profound confession and plea for forgiveness after the prophet Nathan confronted him about his adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband Uriah.
Oh, that's right.
Right. So Psalm 51, prayer for cleansing and pardon to the leader. This, by the way, I saw something, I think it was in Wikipedia. Whenever it says to the leader at this point, it's apparently a message for like the choir master or something.
Okay.
Right. So this is the message to the choir master. A psalm of David. When the prophet Nathan came to him after he had gone in to Bathsheba.
Gone into her.
All right. So this is it. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Also probably Uriah. So that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me. Also, when you killed that guy. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. He has a secret heart.
Oh.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Ooh.
Ooh, that didn't age well.
No.
Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I remember, and put a new and right spirit within me. That's a big one. That one's on billboards.
Putting a new and right spirit within you.
Yeah. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore, by the way, I'm just going to throw this out there. The Holy Spirit as like a concept is not what they're talking about here.
Right.
So if anybody thinks that that's not it. Jewish people don't have a concept of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, to them, God is indivisible. There's no Trinity. Sure. So, you know.
So this would be just.
It's literally like just.
His God essence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God, O God of my salvation. And my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. A sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar, and that's it.
DJ, you really broke your spirit reading that. It's just now your spirit's ready for God.
Yeah.
So
for the love of God, I will accept Jesus. Just please, no more fucking psalms.
So as a Christian,
yeah,
in your younger years, would these be used as like, so if you did something wrong with like your guy at the church, whatever, your preacher, pastor, priest, man,
if I did something wrong with him?
No. If you were like, hey guy, I sinned. What should I do?
Yeah.
Would they like say, like, read this passage from Psalms out loud as like a prayer?
No, Catholic.
I didn't know. I mean, I don't know. Don't laugh. No, I don't know.
Silly Catholic. No.
Catholics do Hail Marys. They don't read Psalms.
I don't know, but still.
But like,
okay. First of all, you're wrong with just by thinking I would go to a pastor and tell him what I did wrong.
Well, listen,
that's not what you
do. Yeah, some people do. They go in counsel.
They get counseling.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not going to do that if I'm like just guilty about something.
No. If it's weighing on your soul.
I mean, I guess that depends on the person, I suppose.
Right.
Personally, I was always the type that if that was the case, I would talk to God.
Right.
You know,
but somebody has to teach you how to talk to God.
That's in the wrong idea. But yeah, like that's what they'll tell you in theory. Some people will say that. Well,
children will not talk to God unless you teach them how to.
Right.
Because they don't believe in him.
I mean, but like imagine.
You have to learn about him.
Yeah. But let's assume this isn't about a 5-year-old.
Well, you start as a 5-year-old. Yeah. Though.
I know. I guess. Yeah. But like, you know, by the time I was 18 or so,
right.
You know, if there was a sin weighing on me, I would have talked to God about it. You know, I would pray about it and stuff. That would be like how I would have handled it. But if I were to talk to somebody else, they wouldn't say like, oh, read this out loud.
Right.
As repentance. You know, but, as penance.
Or, but maybe, I don't know. Again, I don't know how any of this works. Yeah. But like, would they be like, well, read this passage and this is how to ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
From God. No? Yes?
I mean, not really. That's not I mean, yeah, you might get somebody say that, but it's not really like, you know, that's not how it would get said.
I feel like the way people use these, though, is like, especially when they like quote them or put them on billboards or fucking throw it out of their mouth at you,
yeah.
That like it's because somebody told them that that's what they needed to do to like, so when you're like, oh, I've sinned, like in, say you're in casual conversation with another Christian. I don't know how Christianity works. So maybe sure. This isn't a thing that happens, but say you're in a casual conversation with a Christian friend of yours.
Right.
And you're talking about
the weather is very godly today.
Yeah. And then you're talking about the butt you put your penis in.
Right.
And they're offended.
The butt you put your penis in.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is against the rules.
Yeah.
Of Christianity.
Because it's the same sex butt?
Because it doesn't matter. It's sodomy.
Oh, okay.
That's against the rules.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, but God doesn't really care about the man or woman sodomy.
He does.
No, he doesn't.
He does. He said sodomy is not allowed.
Yeah, but he doesn't really care about that.
You are making that inference. I'm being legit, true to the Bible.
Right.
Where he was like, no sodomy.
Right.
Mouth okay. or butt.
Okay. God does not do mouth to ass.
No, no. And so your friend was like, well, you should, that's against the rules.
Yeah.
You should pray for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And then they're like, and then they spout the psalm to you. Like, here's why. Mm. Here's why you should pray for forgiveness.
Right.
Psalm blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then starts just like saying it. Because you even said you remembered part of it. So clearly you
that
learned
one,
it.
That one little part. Yeah. That one.
So I'm not saying they're reading part. The whole refrain to you, but.
Yeah. No, it's. So here's, that's not how it works.
Okay.
But here's how it works in Christianity. When you would see a psalm, yes. right? Your interactions with psalms.
Yes, thank you.
When you're mostly a Christian is when it's like at the top of a little piece of paper and somebody's just put it in on the header. Of like, oh, here's this lovely psalm. Or maybe it's your daily devotional.
Right.
You know, and
what do you do with it? Isn't that what you're doing though? Is reading them and then.
Yeah, but it's not like the entire thing. You're not reading the entire psalm. You're reading that like.
Little snippet.
Yeah. That one, the good part. Yeah.
This seems suspect.
You're just now realizing that about this? Of all the things with religion. The fact that they pick and choose the psalms.
I mean, obviously, I know it all seems as yeah. and that they do pick and choose.
It really, like, because that's the thing with psalms is it's all affirmations.
Yeah.
Like I said, like, there's no narrative to it at all.
Right.
It's all just affirmational stuff. So they'll just grab the stuff that translates to English the best, you know, for them. Mm-hmm. And like, and so you end up having just that where you have. Yeah, you know, it's about having a renewed spirit or whatever the right. fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the things I got out of this particular psalm was that, yeah. A, like, this is teaching, I assume, Christians, because I don't think Jewish people have this relationship with God like Christians do, where you ask for forgiveness. I don't know. Maybe they do.
Jewish people, they kind of do, because they do have holidays of forgiveness.
Okay.
Like where you fast for the day and right. kind of like Ramadan for Islamic people.
Sure.
Yeah, there's Yom Kippur, I think is the day of forgiveness where you have to fast for forgiveness.
So this kind of teaches you that, like, I mean, David did a bad thing. He did a real bad thing. He slept with his friend's wife and then killed his friend.
Yeah, sure.
And he's asking God for forgiveness. And as we know from reading that whole story, God totally does forgive him because after he's dead, he talks about how awesome David is and how godly he was.
Right. He forgives him after he kills David's baby.
Sure.
Let's remember
that. That's true. That is true. That is the sacrifice he is forced to make.
Yeah. Yes. It's David's sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Not Bathsheba's at all.
Yeah. Or the babies.
Right. Right.
You know.
The other thing I got from that was he talks about, like, if you forgive me, then I will make sure that I basically proselytize your word to everybody else so that they can also be forgiven.
Then
so,
I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you.
Yes. So this is something that totally okays fucking assholes in the streets or just random people on the internet who are like, I'm going to pray for you. Let me save you. Let me, you know, help you find God and help you pray for your sins. And it's like, this is not okay. You're crossing the boundary.
And the one before it, when that was all about defeating all my enemies and shit, that one I kept like, oh man, it's too bad Trump doesn't read his Bible. Right. Otherwise, yeah, he would really use this, you know, but
He would. You got bored halfway through that one. Could you imagine Trump trying to get
him? I know.
Or anyone in who has been in the office recently.
Yeah, they would have to they would have to do the same thing that they did with his briefings when he was president, where they would have to write his name in a bunch of places so that it would keep his interest, you know. So it would just be like, "Oh, have mercy on me, oh Trump," you know. Oh, okay, I can pay attention to this.
It doesn't work
if they just replace God with Trump, you know. Basically, if they just do to the Bible what every one of his followers wants them to do with the Bible, just replace God with Trump.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's fun.
A bunch of people just turn off the podcast.
they should not have been listening.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, if they can't handle it, what are we too edgy for you? Fucking cancel culture. All right. Psalm 54. God damn it. Prayer for vindication to the leader, the stringed instruments. Oh, to the leader with stringed instruments. Like this is supposed to have stringed instruments. A maskil of David. When the Ziphites went and told Saul, David is in hiding among us. So this is about that. And this is a short one. Save me, O Trump.
Don't.
No. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For the insolent have risen against me. The ruthless seek my life. They do not set God before them. But surely God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. With the free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. So thanks for helping me kill a bunch of people.
Yeah. But let's not forget that God holds that against him later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not going to be allowed to build the temple because of it.
It really feels like this is David's like little journal. Where he's writing like love letters to God. You know, he's got like David plus God with a little heart around it on the cover.
Right.
That's what it really feels like.
His favorite aspirational quote. It's like Psalm 115.
Yeah.
He's quoting himself.
Why aren't these in order of occurrence, though? I don't understand.
You're probably going to have to talk to like Jewish priests from like the third century.
You don't know the answer to all my questions?
Not to that one.
Okay.
All the other ones, sure.
Well, there goes my psalm to you.
Yeah.
Planning a good one, too, but
okay.
You've broken my spirit.
Just as God wants. All right, Psalm 57, praise and assurance under persecution to the leader. Do not destroy.
Wow.
Of date. Yeah, it's really weird. Don't like it's a do not destroy rule of David, Miktam, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge until the destroying storms pass by. Somebody must not have told him that it doesn't count as a rhyme if it's the same word. I cry to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame those who trample on me. God will send forth his steadfast love and his faithfulness. I lie down among lions that greedily devour human prey. Their teeth are spears and arrows, their tongues sharp swords. He's probably talking about Joab, right? Was it Joab? Yeah, Joab, mm-hmm. His nephew.
Yeah.
Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. Again, rhyming with the same word. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my soul. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness extends to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth, and blah, 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 blah.
It really, like, they're all the same. They're pretty much the same scenario where David's found himself in the shit and he's like, God, you have to help me, oh God.
Oh, shit.
And it really feels like, you know, when
this fucking Saul guy won't let up.
Like when people find themselves in dire situations and all of a sudden find like a sudden belief in God and do like the whole bargaining thing where they're like, if you just get me out of this,
right,
I'll do this and this and this and this and this and this and this, I promise. And it feels like he keeps doing that over and over and over again, where he's like, I swear, if you get me out of this situation, like, you're my guy, I got you, I'm gonna talk about you to everybody. And he does. He holds up his promise.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised if that emerged as like a almost like a genre of writing music within the culture of something, a song written from the perspective of Dave hiding in the cave. Yeah. Dave in the cave.
Dave's not here, man.
So, like, I wonder if it was like something that was common for some writers, some
just writing from musicians. His perspective.
Yeah. Like,
and they just all happen to like the genre is a bargaining song to God from David.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
And people, ladies are just humming that while they're fucking washing the clothes.
I guess.
Their family.
Depends. I mean, it might have had a catchy tune to it. Might have been like set to like, I don't know, Smash Mouth or something. I don't know. Hey now, you're a Dave. Hey now, you're a Star of David.
Hey God, you're an all star.
Yeah.
Let's get this game on.
So that's that. That's the Psalms.
Well, I can see why you were like, I don't really want to do this. And then still are like, I don't really want to do this.
I know.
Because they are, it's not necessarily that they're boring. And yes, I get it. They have no narrative, which makes them a little less interesting. But like, so far, the ones you've read are pretty much all the same fucking thing.
Yeah, they all are.
Just in different scenarios.
Yeah, they all are. Like, if it's not David saying it, it's somebody else saying exactly the same shit. It's probably like the only stuff they were allowed to write about for a while or something like that. Or it was the only stuff that they were allowed to not burn at one point, you know, or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what you get, is a bunch of stuff that's exactly the same.
Why is nobody who's... I know you don't have the answer to this.
I probably do.
Why is nobody who's reading this stuff going like... I feel like I have deja vu.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I just keep reading the same passage over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It's like they seem to be able to find the uniqueness and pull it out of each one. Even though to me, it sounds like they're saying
not out of each one. They don't, like, you're talking about like finding that one verse that gets put up. Yeah. I wouldn't say even each one probably has that.
No.
You know, I would imagine some of them will probably have a bunch of them. You know, some of them are probably shit. There's some shitty Psalms probably.
Probably more than not.
Yeah.
Most, I'm going to do a little Google search of my own here. Most popular Psalm verses.
Yeah.
Psalms verses, because it is plural. Psalms. Psalms verses. And I got the top 20 Psalms of the Bible as decided by the Share Faith team from sharefaith.com.
Okay.
And each one is accompanied with a little graphic that you can share to Instagram that has a mountain behind it.
Ah.
And is in like a sepia tone.
Right.
Which is how you know it's for Instagram.
And how you know it's real.
So I don't know if you want, like, I assume that this is it. We're not doing Psalms ever again.
I mean, I don't know, unless we can figure out a good reason to, if you, like, do you feel like you want us to ever come back to this?
This is why I figured I'd at least cover these top, maybe not even the top 20. Maybe I'll just go through 10.
Okay.
And you can tell me.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember these?
Okay.
And are these the ones that, and maybe what we're supposed to be getting from these?
Ah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the first one is Psalm 86:5.
Okay.
And I imagine that these aren't the whole psalm, right? These are probably just the pieces saying that they pick out. And it's funny because they have the actual verse on this website, and then in the graphic they change the wording of it so that it's shorter.
Oh, really?
So they have the short, they have the piece, and then they have the short version. So I'm just going to read the one that's in the graphic because that's how it gets shared.
Yeah.
Into the world. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you.
Yep. So God's good.
And the actual passage is, Lord, you are so good to me, so kind in every way and ready to forgive, for your grace fountain keeps overflowing.
In my face.
Drenching all your lovers who pray to you.
Ooh. This isn't even like getting into the Song of Songs. This isn't even like the sexy poetry of the Bible.
Lord. Okay. Next one. Psalm 9.1. Did we do? No, we didn't do 9.
No.
But this would probably be one of the David ones, right? I feel like the early ones were all.
No, I wouldn't say we know.
Okay.
For sure.
Lord, I will worship you with extended hands. As my whole heart explodes with praise, I will tell everyone everywhere about your wonderful works and how your marvelous miracles exceed expectations.
Yeah. Just going to keep telling yourself that.
It's throwing me off because they keep capitalizing you and your, and I'm like, that doesn't look right to my eyeballs.
Right. But it does if you're a Christian.
Yeah. Psalm 37:4.
Okay.
If you make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life, he will provide for you what you desire most. He's a genie.
Yeah. Well, it didn't really work out for most of the slaves that became Christians.
And then it's weird how they change the wording, because then in the graphic it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart.
It might be. I wonder if it's a different translation.
It's the Passion Translation. Cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Psalm 55:22.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of stuff of like, first of all, giving thanks to God, which is a way of like, so if you think of like, we've been watching Mom a lot, the show Mom.
It's true.
With AA and stuff. And if you think of being in a situation like that where you are going through, sometimes you go through hard stuff that mm-hmm. you don't know what to do about and everything. And mm-hmm. one of the things is that you can do is give thanks. And if you don't know what to give thanks about, you can just give thanks about God, you know?
Right.
And so, and that will in theory make you feel better. And I'm sure there have been many people who have read Psalms like this and have felt better.
Sure.
And gotten through tough parts of their life because of it. But at the end of the day, is any of it real?
Right.
You know, it's obviously.
Placebo, yeah.
Placebo. Placebo.
So here's what the Passion Translation of that is. So here's what I've learned through it all. Leave all your cares and anxieties at the feet of the Lord, and measureless grace will strengthen you.
Yeah.
57:10. for your unfailing love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. But I'm trying to figure out which one I want to read, the graphic or the Passion Translation. I think I like the Passion Translations. They're more passionate.
Are they?
Your love is so extravagant, it reaches to the heavens.
But they don't have a mountain behind them.
And that's true. This one's just a sky, so I think we're okay. Your faithfulness is so astonishing, it stretches to the sky. Who's there? Like, my love or God's love? God's love.
Yeah.
God's love reaches the heavens, but isn't he
in heaven?
In heaven.
So he's obviously reached
not it. Very far. No. Yeah.
God's love can't jump.
62:1. I stand silently to listen to the one, capital O, I love, waiting as long as it takes for the Lord to rescue me. For God alone has become my savior.
Doesn't that just sound dark?
Yeah.
Kind of like,
yeah.
Like it sounds like a bad relationship.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I stand silently to listen for the one I love, waiting for them to show back up because I know that they're my one true love. Stalker.
I know. It's weird. Stalker. Stalking God.
Yeah.
Now, like, to me, it sounds like somebody who's been, like, gaslit into, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
63:3, for your tender mercies to me mean more than life itself. How I love and praise you, God. 104:33. You're right. There are a lot of Psalms.
Yeah.
104:33. Jesus Christ. He doesn't even show up in these.
Jesus Christ. No.
I will sing my song to the Lord as long as I live. Every day I will sing my praises to God.
It's funny because you did say, like, oh, you should tell us, like, if you remember any. I don't remember fucking any of these. But they all sound alike.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, most of these are like, I will do this for God. I will do this for God. I will do this for God.
Or thanks God for doing this. Or
yeah.
Thanks God. Yeah.
Let everyone thank God.
Yeah.
For he is good and he is easy to please.
Is he?
Fucking where? Where does it say that?
According to fucking who?
His tender love for us continues on forever.
So you can see how, like, whatever your inclination is, whatever point you're trying to make, you can find a fucking verse that'll tell you that.
Yeah.
You know?
This one's interesting. It's 156. I'm going to do both the graphic and the Passion Translation. So the graphic says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Okay. Oh, I do know this one.
The Passion Translation says, let everyone everywhere join in the crescendo of ecstatic praise to Yahweh. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. I think the Passion might be taking liberties more than the graphics.
So I'll stick with the graphics then.
Because I remember the graphic one. Could you repeat the graphic one again?
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
I feel like there's a praise and worship song that has that line in there.
Probably. Yeah. 16:8. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. The Passion Translation is, because you are close to me and always available, my confidence will never be shaken, for I experience your wraparound presence every moment.
Wraparound presence.
And I'm telling you, these Passion Translations, I don't know where the fuck they come from, but like,
yeah, I'm betting that they're kind of like the Message, which was like just a paraphrasing of the Bible. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've moved on from reading the Psalms into what the Passion Translation is.
Okay.
Are you ready to experience the Bible like never before?
Not really, no.
The Passion Translation is a new heart-level translation that expresses God's fiery heart of love to this generation using Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic manuscripts, merging the emotion and life-changing truth of God's Word. If you are looking for a new way to study God's Word or simply want to go deeper into God's word, you will want to check out the Passion Translation.
For only $60 by Donald Trump.
No, this is to anything for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. But there's a lot more Psalms. I don't know that.
What is hurt level?
I know.
It's like literally, what other levels are mind level?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want it to be surface, up to the mind level.
Surface level.
Heart level, though. That was some bullshit text that they came up with there.
Oh yeah. Well, and they do, like, if you compare the ones in the graphic, which seems like the like normal like wording from the Bible.
Right.
And then with the Passion Translation, you do see like they've definitely like added softer and like more buzzwords to it.
Oh yeah. It's probably meant to be more easily read than what the actual Bible is, because the actual Bible is flawed.
Right. So they have to make it so that it makes sense.
Yeah. And people want to read it because people don't want to fucking read the Bible.
Right. Yeah. Here's a good example. So Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored for every nation. Oh, no, I will be honored by every nation. And to be clear, he meant probably the tribes of Israel when he said by every nation.
Probably meant the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think so?
I think
God meant the world. I will be honored. Oh, I will be honored throughout the world. Yeah. I should have just kept reading. But
by the world, they meant like about 500 square miles that they knew of, you know?
Yeah. The Passion Translation says, surrender your anxiety.
Okay.
So I guess that's the Passion Translation for be still. Surrender your anxiety.
Ah.
Be silent and stop your striving. Stop striving.
Okay.
And you will see that I am God. Because if you strive, you can't also see God.
Right. Apparently. You can't do two things at once, really, at all.
I am the God above all the nations, and I will be exalted throughout the whole earth.
Name one culture from the other side of the planet, God. Name one fucking culture from the other side of the planet.
It's funny because these aren't even like I mean, and this is only according to this one website, but like these aren't even the ones that I like see throughout public. You know what I mean? Like these aren't the ones that I normally. I mean,
how many of those are you looking up?
None of them.
Yeah.
That's true. You're right. All right, fine. You're right. All right.
I'm just saying.
Do you want me to say it? You're right, Josh. These are shit.
Yeah. I mean, I would love it if you said that more often.
Well, you be right more often, and I will. I am interested in the ones that are the curses. Like, I want to see what an actual curse from the Bible that's not from like somebody cursing a Christian or Jewish person. Major imprecatory Psalms include Psalm 69. Ooh, 69. And Psalm 109. Psalm 69. Psalm 109 escalates the intensity of the imprecations. David here petitions of his enemies. May his days be few. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May the creditor seize all he has. So he's literally like, I hope you die. I hope your children don't have their father. I hope your wife doesn't have a husband. And I hope that anybody you owe money to come and take everything that you own. Mm-hmm. So that's what they consider
a curse.
A curse.
Here's Psalm 69. It's a prayer for deliverance from persecution. And it says to the leader, according to lilies, period. Which I don't know what that means. I wonder if it means if it's some old timey term for like with strings or something. Hmm. And then it says of David. So this is a psalm of David's.
Okay.
It says, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire. where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. A lot of people feel like that. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Many are those who would destroy me, my enemies who accuse me falsely. What I did not steal, must I now restore? Oh God, you know my folly, the wrongs I have done and are not hidden from you. Do not let those who hope in you, blah, 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 blah. I don't see anything about this being a curse.
I know. They don't seem, I mean, the 109 seemed like the cursiest, where he was just like, again, straight up, you die, your kid has no dad, your wife has no husband, also your creditors come and take all your stuff.
Yeah. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to me. Redeem me. Set me free because of my enemies. You know the insults I receive. See, this is fucking... Donald Trump is really a fucking idiot for a lot of reasons, but not using some of this shit.
It's true.
You know the insults I receive and the shame and dishonor. My foes are all known to you, you know?
Yeah.
That's the closest I can get to doing a Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, it's not great.
That's why I pay people to do that.
Well, and really what it is, I mean, if you take the Trump of it out of it, it's narcissistic behavior.
Yeah.
For sure. And there's more than just one narcissist out there in the world.
Right. And people could be going through some shit where some of this could resonate with them. You know, insults have broken my heart so that I am in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
You can see how people could cling on to that.
Definitely.
But
everyone who says that sort of thing isn't being falsely... You know, if somebody reads that and resonates with it, doesn't necessarily mean that they're false, feeling that falsely.
Right.
You know what I mean?
The feeling is valid.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a valid feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just like poetry of any culture and stuff like that, like can speak to you.
Right.
You know,
right.
If you open yourself up to it, mm-hmm. but doesn't mean it came from God.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
So.
All right. Well, I don't even, the cursy ones aren't even good. So I concede.
You concede?
I concede.
Okay.
You don't have to go through the Psalms ever again.
All right.
This will probably be our lowest rated episode ever.
Maybe. I don't know. I do think we should do something like this for Proverbs.
Yeah.
Maybe Song of Songs. Proverbs might be even worse. I don't know.
Yeah. It's true. This is another one where you see a lot of, like, again, it's like the buzzy sort of quotes people use and stuff.
Oh, Proverbs full of
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bunch of bumper stickers out there.
And Song of Solomon.
Yeah.
Those are supposed to be, I keep saying this and you're kind of like, all right, well, let's not get our expectations up. But those are supposed to be like the sexy ones, right? Yeah.
They're the ones that back in the day, they wouldn't let children read it because you know there's parts of the Bible you shouldn't let children read, which is true, but
not these though.
These are not the problem.
Yeah.
No,
right. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it would be, and I it would be interesting just to see,
yeah,
knowing that I won't myself go read them, and I did believe you that they were terrible.
Yeah,
kind of. Because I also was like, I can't believe that you, knowing the Bible like you do, were straight up like, it's awful. Yeah. I don't want to do it.
Right.
And yet, it seems so popular to me. I can't like reconcile those two things in my head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who is doing the work of digging through Psalms to find those little things to put on bumper stickers, but... they're doing the Lord's work. So
They are legitimately actually doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. So all good right. on them, I guess.
All right. Well, sorry.
That's okay.
To
That's okay.
everyone.
I mean, you didn't write it.
No, I know, but I forced this upon you and everybody listening.
You're not my mom. Sorry, mom.
I think it's funny that you think your mom can get you to do something more than I can. Absolutely not true.
No, I meant like when I was a kid.
Oh.
You know.
I see. Yeah. I thought you were more like.
My mom could not get me to read Psalms now.
No, just me.
Yeah. And then so next episode, we're probably going to do a re-release because you are actually going to be out of town.
Yes, I'm going to Baltimore.
She's going to go see all of the John Waters locations and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, that's her
my
thing.
Jesus.
That's it. Your Jesus. Yeah. He's John Waters.
The Pope of trash.
We at least know he exists.
Yes. I've seen him in real life twice.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, next week we're probably going to do a re-release. I don't know what yet, but we'll do something.
Hey, if you got a good idea, let us know.
Yeah, sure.
Or I mean, you know, I guess if you really wanted to re-listen to one of our older episodes, you could just go do that.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Josh just doesn't like to leave a dead space in between 2 weeks where nothing comes out.
Yeah. Without it, like what sucks is like, there's no, I mean, you know, we technically have our Reddit, I guess, but there's no way of just being like, we don't really have anything this week. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, well, I got to put something out. Otherwise right. people will think we're dead.
You know? It happens so quickly on podcasts.
Right.
You miss a week and people are like, oh man.
We got to call the police.
Did something happen to those guys?
Right.
Did Lynn's finally have her falling down moment and take Josh out?
Yeah. We all knew it was coming. All the signs were there in the episodes all along. They all lived miserably ever after. Thank you so much for checking out our podcast. Help us grow the audience by sharing us with your friends or giving us a share on social media. And we love hearing from you. You can reach out on our website at bsfa.cc.
There's a lot of S's in our intro. I was like, should have said Pastrepin.
I know. Like, how much are we doing with it?
How annoying is it?
Yeah.
Have we annoyed you yet? Anyone?
I mean, yeah.
Yes.
All right. They're just not listening at this point.
Shut it off. Yeah.
Yeah.